Praise God. If you would tonight, let's receive our evening offering. Open your Bibles once again to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, where we were last night in talking about this. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Anyone, anybody that will listen and do what the Word says do, anybody that does that consistently, put it first place in your life, you will prosper. In fact, let's turn, before we go to there, to Mark 4, let's look at Joshua chapter 1. And you have to remember that Joshua was headed into combat. And listen to what God said to him. Verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe. What does observe mean? To see into. And he's not talking about natural physical observation. He's talking about spiritual insight into the Word. Now notice what he said. Be strong and of good courage. Wait a minute, let me back up a little bit. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may, what? That you may prosper wherever you go. Now, what did he just say? Put the Word first place. Now, this book of the law, or you and I would say, the Word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. Don't say anything else. Now, this morning we read what happened to the Shunammite woman. And her boy had a sunstroke and died. And she refused to say it. She refused to say anything except all is well. Amen. Amen. And she took hold of the prophet's leg and wouldn't let him go. Well, see, she's Shunammite. And that prophet was the only word that she had. And man, I mean to tell you, she took hold of him and she wasn't going to turn him loose. But I don't care what he asked her, what's going on, what's happening. All she'd say is, all is well. All is well. All is well. Now, it'll not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night. Get this on your mind. Don't be thinking about anything else. Don't be thinking about the giants over there across the river. See, the last time he was there were some awful big folks over there. Don't be thinking about them. Don't be thinking about this or that or that. You keep your mind on me. Meditate on my Word. That's the way you keep your mind on God, is meditate His Word. Amen. Now notice this. And you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. One translation says you will deal wisely in all the affairs of life. So now, as far as God is concerned, there is no reason for you, me, anybody else not to prosper. Because he just told you how. Amen. Well, yeah, Brother Copeland, but, you know, I just don't have time. Now, isn't that something? Whatever you're doing is more important than God. That's kind of dumb, particularly when you're broke, in debt, and sick. Amen. When all the time, it's there for you all the time, all the time. That's like the guy that said, last time I saw you, you was talking about going back to school and going to medical school. Did you do that? Well, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, I mean, come on. Well, no, you know, it'd take upwards of 10 years for me to finish my degree and so forth. And he said, look, in 10 years, I'll be 45 years old. He said, how old will you be in 10 years if you don't go? Huh? See, that's like, I don't have time. You have exactly the same amount of time as everybody else. But if you'll put the word first and do what he's telling you to do, it's amazing what happens to your time. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back over there where we were in Mark 4. Where Jesus said, the sower sows the word, 14th verse, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their heart. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they were offended. Now, would that have happened if you just kept meditating on that word day and night, day and night? No, it's while you're messing around doing something else. Because he said, you know, you received the word gladly, with a glad heart. And the word did its job. It went into the heart. It did what it was supposed to do. But then you get busy messing with something else, and that's what Satan is after, is the word of God. If he can steal the word, he can steal everything you got. If he can steal the word, he can kill you. He can wipe out your finances. But if he can't steal the word out of you, he's had it in your life. It is done. It's like it was with Joshua. Amen. So now, listen very carefully. And have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, affliction is tests and trials and hard situations. Immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the pressures, lust or pressures of other things, entering in. See, that's the problem. It got in. You could have kept it out by meditating in the word and doing what it said, but it got in and choked the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. Well, Brother Copeland, you just don't know what a load of care I've got to care. Well, did you know you're full of pride? Oh, Brother Copeland, I'm not full of pride. Yeah, you are. That's what the scripture says, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting the whole of your care over on him. Huh? Humble yourself, casting the care. For God does what for the humble? Gives grace, but he resists the proud. Right there in that very scripture. So pride is carrying your own care when all the time Jesus is there to carry it for you. Hallelujah. Whoa, we could preach the rest of the night on that and have a big time at it too. Praise. That's one of my favorite places of scripture. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. So make a note of it. Now then, the cares of this world choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Brother Copeland, yeah, but you know what? It looks like, you know, how this inflation mess is and all of that. And it's just so much trouble. And you know, it looks like, you know, it looks like bread may go to $5-6 a loaf. What difference does that make when you got $5 or $6? I don't care if it's $100 a loaf if you got the 100 to pay for it. Amen? That's what it means to prosper in all of your ways. Amen. Or in that case, you know, the Lord might give you a bakery and you could start a bakery war and a bread war and you come out rich. Ah, oh, come on, Brother Cole. Well, I'll come on yourself. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Amen. Oh, that's silly thinking. No, that's prosperous thinking. If he needs somebody to do it, well, I don't know anything about running a bakery. Well, Joseph didn't know anything about running a prison either. But he did because of the blessing of the Lord. See, don't ever discount the blessing. Hallelujah. All right, now stay with me now. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And he said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? No. Or under a bed? No. And not to be set on a candlestick? Why would God send the word? And you know, it's always seemed kind of foolish to me. Somebody said, well, I don't believe you're supposed to understand the Bible. Well, why would God be so foolish to send the thing here and then and hide it from you? That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's religion that'll hide it. Amen. Religion is genetically altered Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you got that and some of you didn't. If any man, anybody, any person have ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. With what measure, and M-E-T-E is another word for measure. What measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. He didn't say, now what measure God has measured to you, that's all you're going to get. No, he said, what measure you measure is what you're going to receive. 30, 60, 100 fold of what? Teacups? Thimbles? A hundredfold return on a thimble wouldn't be a whole lot. But a hundredfold return on a bucket is better. I like going up dump trucks, praise God, or however big I can get it, that's what I'm going to get my hands on and sew it. Years ago, I was still a student at Old Roberts University, and I met and got well acquainted with T.L. Osborne, one of the greatest evangelists of the 20th century or any other century, as far as that goes. And he said, and the first time I met him, we had lunch together. And T.L. was, I think T.L. was born excited. I mean, and we sat down there and he said, Kenneth, and I kind of jumped. He said, you want to be rich? I said, yeah. He said, you want me to tell you how? I said, yes, sir. He said, find a preacher that God has given him a job that's too big for him to do, and you get in there and help him do it. Help him finance it. God will make you rich. Oh, brother, that's just too easy. No, that's what it's all about. Amen. Now stay, just come on, stay with me now, because we're going somewhere with this. Take heed what you hear, with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, say hear. Unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that has what? He that has ears to hear. He that will listen. More will be given. He that hath not ears to hear, from him shall be taken even that which he has. And he just got through explaining it's the devil's going to take it away from you. Because you're not listening. Amen. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now what brings the fruit forth? The word. He's got to say the cares of this world choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. It's actually not you or me that's bearing fruit. It's the word in you and me that's bearing fruit. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Now then, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, go with me over to the 5th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 5. It came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now the fishermen didn't come to hear the preacher, they came to work. You follow me now? He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, nets, not net, okay? Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And the net, singular. Look at it again. I will let down the net. And they beckoned under the, And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net broke. Now don't get so thrilled over a net breaking load of fish. This is the only incident where a net broke. There are other, one incident said they got so many fish they couldn't move the net, but it didn't break. Okay. There's a problem here. Jesus said, your nets. What had they just been doing? Huh?
Washing
the nets. Yes.
Aha.
Amen. Amen. They've been working. They worked all night long, didn't catch a thing, and they're cleaning those nets. Those things are particularly back there then, everything is just pure manual, and those, they were huge. It's obvious what he did. He got one old net. We're not going to catch anything anyway. I tried to tell that preacher we ain't going to catch nothing, but he wants to go anyway. And so they put that net out there, and it wasn't any good. I was in a meeting one night. I went with Jerry Savelle to a service. He was preaching. I just went along with him. And he and I were sitting right there on the front row while the pastor was receiving the offering, and he was going on about net breaking, boat sinking load, you know. And man, I mean, you know, that's the way I felt about it too. I said, yeah. And the Lord, I heard the voice of the Lord. It caught me off guard. I wasn't talking to him. And he said, that net was rotten. What happened? He wasn't listening. Did you know he didn't catch a fish? Now, this explains something else. I want you to notice this now. Hallelujah. Now, they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came, filled both ships, and they only broke two more nets. No, none of their nets broke. Well, I mean, the catch was huge. It looks to me like they'd have broke two or three nets if that's what was going on. No, they didn't break any nets. That was a rotten net. Now, you have to understand. Now, listen to me. Peter is a good man. Peter, you remember when he had that vision, he was in a trance on a housetop and the sheet came down and said, kill and eat Peter. He said, not so, Lord. No unclean thing has ever crossed my lips and never eaten any unclean thing. So he knew. He knew. He was taught. He followed the word. He followed the law. Amen. And he knew better. He knew better than to put that rotten net out there. He knows you're not supposed to bring some one-eyed chicken to the rabbi. No. He knew better than that. So it was a polluted offering. They came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Can you see it? He knew what he had done. And you notice he fell down at his knees. He couldn't get to his feet. He's knee deep in fish. Peter's got, oh Lord, and the fish are slapping him in the face. Biggest catch in the history of the Galilee, and he didn't get one. Not one little fish. But now what happened the next time when he came in and said, sir, they want to know if we're going to pay taxes. Jesus said, yeah. Get your pole, go down the lake, take the money out of the mouth of the first fish. I mean, he's down there catching fish. Don't even say he had any bait. He just had a hook. This was even more supernatural in some ways than that one was. That you notice he didn't question. He just grabbed hook, line, and sinker, and here he went to the lake. Glory to God. But now, wait a minute. He had an opportunity to mess this up, too. I would have done it. The Lord told me I would have done it. Now think about it. He said, take the money out of the mouth of the first fish. Now, if there's money in the mouth of that first fish, you prop money in the mouth of a fish enough to pay your taxes? You know what you'd have done? You can't wait. Man, you'd have thrown that fish overboard and took that money and you'd have beat it to the shore. Look what happened! Oh, no. I threw that fish back. Jesus said the first fish. There was an anointing that day to catch. Get the money, put it in your pocket, and just keep reeling them in. And fill up the boat again. And have a good time this time because you're getting to catch them one at a time. And that's when it's fun. Amen? But no way he's going to mess that up a second time, brother. He's listening this time. Can you see it? You got to be listening. Amen. Now, before I get away from this, let's look back in the book of Mark once more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, no, the Lord said to me, we'll get to that later. Father, in the name of Jesus, reveal to each one of us tonight, here in this building and online, and what each one of us, what you have planned for each one of us to sow into this offering tonight. And we'll hear, and we will obey, and we give you praise. Let's just worship the Lord. Give him praise. Give him praise and thanksgiving for it. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory.